thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Show goes on, all right, on radio show. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy is on vacay. What's going on, Will T?
Nothing much, man. You know what's funny? You know, the intro, you thought you knew, but you had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought I knew what boneless, bottomless wings were, but clearly I didn't. Hey, last night.
Preach, brother, preach.
Yeah, last night I went to go, you know, the establishment I go to watch football at with our friend of the show.
Yeah.
They had a special Monday and Thursday night, boneless, bottomless wings.
Yeah, there's one like that at Smoky Bones and Bowie. They have that same type of thing on Mondays as well, too.
Okay, so, you know, pay. Mm-hmm. First order, we get 12.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. So, you know, we split them. So we crushed that. So, like, well, first of all, it took them like 30 minutes to get the order.
Don't you hate that? My food is delayed, though.
Yeah, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to stall me out.
I get it. But still, though. Customer service.
At this point, it's about 9 o'clock. You know, the special run from 8:30 to 12.
They're really working it.
Yeah. So, you know, we get the first order. Uh-huh. It takes 30 minutes to get them. You know, eat those in about 5 to 7 minutes. Then we like round two.
Round two. Okay.
Then it takes some additional 25 minutes.
Folks, black people love their chicken. Continue.
Absolutely, we do. But this time, I don't get a full 12. I get 6.
But you do know that's the game, though. When they say bottomless wings, they'll give you half of it.
I don't play them games.
But still, 6, nothing wrong with 6,
you
though.
You see, I have melanin in my skin, I don't play games when it comes to chicken.
I get you, though.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
I understand this. Dude, you see me eat chicken, so you already know. You know, I get it down like an African. It gets to the bone, the gristle, man, the gristle.
No gristle involved here. It's boneless wings. So then, you know, I pull the bartender to the side. I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? It's taking a little long.
Yeah.
You know, once I get these, I'm putting in another order right now. So you're just going to keep consistently bringing them along. I think after like the third or fourth order, he got it down pat.
He got the hint. He knew what was up.
Yeah, but then he tried to hit me with the okie doke, right?
All right.
So the last order, it's almost closing time.
Got you. Dang, y'all, like, really? Y'all shut this thing down?
Nah, not really.
It is a Monday night.
I mean, we stayed to watch the game.
So, yeah, I got you.
He tries to be slick. Mm-hmm. We have been ordering like the buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Now he goes with like the nuclear hot, thinking he's gonna shut it down, and I'm not gonna eat it, trying to prove a point. I ate all of it, and I wasn't gonna be an ass and say give me another one because I was ready to go. But I'm not gonna put that place on blast. But let's not make that happen again. You know, I was very disheartened.
Look, man, you know, I mean. I'm a fan of my chicken. So if you do me wrong with chicken, it's a serious problem. I mean, if it was me, I would put him on blast, though. But you're a nice guy, though.
Yeah, man.
I'll put him on blast.
I mean, next time, don't make me walk across the street to the Wegmans and go and get, like, you know, the chicken.
Is that what happened?
Chicken. Nah.
I'm about to say.
I have done it before.
Okay.
You know.
Why'd you do it? Because the chicken was bad?
Nah, because they ran out of chicken wings when I went to go watch the Super Bowl one time.
Okay, I want to say this, and this is going to sound like racist, but it's not really racist. Stereotypical. More than anything, we're in a black county. Like, really?
Well, this isn't in a predominantly black county.
Oh, this wasn't. Okay, then it changes my whole thought process. Then,
yeah.
Okay. All right, Wiltie, how we?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. The first topic: the Washington Redskins losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, 29-20. At 8:20, we will make our Week 5 NFL predictions. Wiltie had a good week, right, Wiltie?
Of course I did. I always have a good week.
At 8:30, we'll have Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatGM.com, to talk about the Washington Nationals NLDS matchup against the Chicago Cubs. At 8:40, we'll debate if the Washington Wizards should go after Jahlil Okafor. He's on the trading block. And finally, at 8:50, we'll discuss the FBI's probe of many NCAA basketball teams. But first, the Washington Redskins lost to the Kansas City Chiefs 29-20. Your thoughts on the game? You saw the game.
This was the first football game I've saw in the totality.
Mm-hmm.
The whole season. As I predicted. Washington.
I predicted it too.
They did.
Yeah. So,
so the first thing I think is anyone who placed money on a game, you got to be a little bit upset.
Dirty, right? I would be too.
Because Justin Houston didn't say, Nah, I'm gonna just jump on top of the ball and
I think Justin
and I'm gonna ride this out. Let the clock
I'm score this touchdown.
He said, "Nah, I'm gonna score this touchdown."
I think Justin.
So we can go up by 9.
I think Justin Houston bet on the game. Or he has a relative who did, and he did it for us. He did it for the fam.
Well, Kansas City definitely covered with that touchdown.
They covered. They were 7.
Yeah,
it was 7. I think they were like, yeah, it was 7. That was the line. Not 7.5, but
I think it was 7.
It was just straight 7, right?
Yeah, straight 7. So they covered with that touchdown.
Sure did.
So, first of all, you have to be upset if you bet on the game.
Mm-hmm.
Second, it just goes to I'm not going to trash Washington. I will say last week I said that Josh Dotson is going to come a time where he needed to make a play during this game in order for Washington to win, and I didn't believe that he would be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. He made a couple plays before
He made a couple plays, but he didn't make the biggest play.
Yeah, I agree.
And even on that catch, I don't necessarily fault him because Jordan Reed was open.
You mean a drop?
On a drop.
Because now it was, yeah.
Yeah,
Jordan Reed's open.
He brought it in, but he dropped. He didn't have possession all the way down to the ground. Jordan Reed was wide open.
This is what I will say about the Jordan Reed pass, and everybody gets on like, because Jordan Reed beat his man on the double move and got him. But it's not a guarantee, you know. Like Kurt had to hit him in stride, right? You know, because I believe he was going against a DB. It wasn't, you know, like a linebacker, it was a DB. So Kurt has to hit him in stride. So we don't even know closing speed or whatnot. And maybe Kurt overthrows him. It's not like Jordan Reed is a high jumper, right? And he's very bad foot. So I know it's Jordan Reed, right? So he's the better player. He's the better option. It's Jordan Reed. This is your money dog. This is your alpha dog when it comes to offense. But I can't knock Kirk Cousins, and you know I've been deemed a Kirk Cousins hater or whatnot. I can't knock Kirk Cousins for his play or that pass because he put it on the money to a dude who's a first-round pick who's supposed to make that catch. He had it in his hand in terms of how we grow up playing sports or football, whatever. First use football. If the ball hits your hands, right, it hit his hands, both hands, he pulled it in clean and just couldn't complete the catch. So to me, Kirk Cousins made the right play. It was a perfect pass. I think Kirk Cousins to me played very elite in that game.
Elite?
Yeah, because we all fall in love with stats, right? Like we fall in love with stats, you know. And I've always said it's empty stats in all of sports, but it's about what you do in winning situations, right? And what he did, it wasn't about, oh, you know, this guy may blast me. It's not about, oh, this is going to ruin my completion percentage. It was all about, you know what, I need to get that first down by any means necessary. If I got to check it down and get the first down, I'm going to check it down. If I got to go, instead of getting 5 yards, I'm getting a 10-yard pass. He went that route. If I have to run and he did on that drive, if I have to run to get the first down, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to slide, you know, feet first. I'm going head in. Pause. So, but I enjoyed it. I was like, this is winning football. I was screaming at the TV. This is winning football. This is what I'm talking about.
I know I actually was going to text you during the game, but I figured that down. You were somewhere in the dark, secluded.
I was here. In the studio.
Okay, you were in the studio. Watching the game by yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like a depressed.
Did you scream at the TV? Individual.
Of course. That's what I do.
Okay.
I screamed at the TV. I didn't punch any walls. I was kind of calm.
All right.
I mean, I was mad at Josh Dotson, but you know, I got over it. Again, he's a young kid. I think he'll learn from it. I think Josh Dotson will. In a situation, Josh Dotson will learn to, like, once he catches the ball, bring it in with two hands rather than just the one hand, and I think he'll be fine. I still think Josh Dotson has all the tools to be an elite wide receiver.
He has the tools to be a good receiver.
I think
elite.
He got the tools to be elite.
That's a stretch.
He's got the tools, man. He's got the tools. In terms of the athleticism, route running has to play a part to be truly elite. I mean, because, you know, once defenses do certain things to you, that you're going to have to rely on the skills of running a route to the highest of your ability. But I just think he has the ability to be an elite wide receiver. But again, he'll learn from this. I think he'll learn from this situation.
I mean, hopefully he does.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what did you think of, like, the Redskins defense?
I think Washington's defense.
So you're good. Okay.
Washington's defense had a good outing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's four strong outings that this team has had. Even though they gave up 23 points. You know, I'm not including the Kirk Cousins fumble. Even though they gave up 23 points, this team still plays strong against a very explosive offense. Mm-hmm. And I like what Washington was able to do. They took away the big plays, mm-hmm. but it's just that Andy Reid adjusted and he put together drives. He put his play call and improved rather than going for broke and going for the home run. He said, okay, let's put together a drive. Let's take the ball. Let's take possession of the ball. Run, you know, use our run game, use the short pass game, and move the ball down the field, which they did effectively.
Yeah,
and then also, Travis Kelce is a
beast, man. He's a beast, man. The dude is a beast. I mean, the dude. The Redskins had nothing to do. They had nothing they can do with them. And we said this before that the Redskins typically struggle against tight ends. And we're talking about one of the best tight ends in football.
He's not a tight end. He's like a small or power forward. He's like six.
Let's call him. He's like Lil Gronk. If that makes it, he's Lil Gronk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he got some swag to him too.
He does.
He do got swag to him. I really do. I enjoyed watching him. I thought he was I was like, yeah, this is a solid player. This is a dude that definitely is one of the better tight ends in football.
And you can't forget Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah, Alex Smith. Yeah.
Alex Smith made plays when he needed to with his arm and with his legs.
Yeah, 56 yards rushing. He was through for almost 300 yards. I mean, again, we're talking about the highest rated quarterback in the league right now. Alex Smith is doing what he, you know, what he's capable of doing. He's a guy that he was very successful in San Francisco and winning games. He's doing the same thing in Kansas City. You know, it's probably his last year on this deal, but it's somebody Kirk Cousins can kind of look.
Well, no, it's not the last year on the deal. This is probably his last year.
I'm sorry, you know what I mean? Sorry,
Kansas City.
His last year in Kansas City. His last year in Kansas City. But looking at Alex Smith, this is somebody Kirk Cousins can look at and say, you know what? Alex Smith's about to get paid. It looks like, you know, after having a year, you know, this season, he's going to have looking like an MVP caliber season. Kirk Cousins can look at Alex Smith and say, you know what? I can kind of. Just kind of helped my market out a little bit.
You know, looking at the game and looking at both of them play, I saw it looked like a reflection.
To a certain extent, yes. To a certain extent.
You know, I understand that Kirk's putting himself in a position to be paid as one of the – to be the top paid, the highest paid player in the NFL this upcoming offseason. Uh-huh. But when I see both of them play, I see a lot of each other.
Like, you understand like, what I mean? And what element?
Not crazy strong arms.
Okay.
They don't necessarily push the ball down the field a lot.
Okay.
They make smart plays. They can use their athleticism when needed.
Yeah, when needed.
But they don't do it all the time.
Agreed. Well, I think Alex Smith does. I think he does. He uses it when he uses it more often.
Like, yeah. He'll do it. Well, I'll say this: Alex Smith is a better athlete than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, agreed.
In my opinion.
Agreed.
If you put the right pieces around him. You can win. If you have the right organizational structure.
I agree.
Front office that goes out and gets the right type of talent and put that around them. You know, playmakers on the outside, a big tight end, a good offensive line, then a defense and a strong defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can win with these guys. Now, are they, you know, Breeze, Manning, Rivers, Brady? No.
No.
But you can definitely win with those guys. I just saw that each other's comparable to me.
Yeah, I just think yeah, and I've said this before. I just think Alex Smith, the only difference, and I'll say this, you know, I think Kirk Cousins is becoming a little bit more clutch. But I think Alex Smith, when I look at Alex Smith, I look at his career, and I look at some of the things he's accomplished in certain game situations. To me, Alex Smith is a guy who showed the clutch gene, regardless of what people think of him as a manager. But he's come up big. The game that comes to mind is the postseason game when they went to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Giants. But they played the Packers. Vernon Davis was on his team. He came back. He won the game in the fourth quarter with that big play, like the big completion of Vernon Davis to win the game. And he made a big run. So to me, he's in the big stages. We've seen Alex Smith play well. I guess that's the thing that's different from Kirk Cousins. But again, Kirk Cousins has shown it to me, looking at, and I know people are going to look at it funny, but the LA Ram game showed to me that, you know, little by little, he's getting it. You know, even in that game, like yesterday's game, he's getting it. It's like he's understanding, okay, I got to have better situational football, play better situational football. And he gets to, he's now getting to a point where, you know what? I may not be able to make this pass. You know what I mean? I don't need to throw the ball away, but I know what I can do. I can get some yardage by running the football. You know what I mean? I can do whatever it takes to put our team in the best situation to score. And I think he's doing that. And to your point, Yeah, I think little by little, I'm seeing Kirk Cousins pretty much becoming that Alex Smith role, taking on that Alex Smith persona or and role.
Yeah, it's just I just see a reflection. I see Kirk Cousins, what he can potentially be. What I, you know, some people think I'm being disrespectful by saying at the top of it, Kirk Cousins' talent level, he'll get to a level of Alex Smith.
But I don't think anything wrong with that.
I think if you get Alex Smith, there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, what's this franchise wants to be a winner, right?
Absolutely. Alex Smith has won.
He's won. And he's won at his teams have been the best in the division. He's won division titles. He's won to a point had the best record in a conference. He's been that good. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think if Redskins fans got an opportunity to get the winning that Alex Smith got, you know, got to feel that, I don't think they would be insulted. I think they would be it would be ridiculous to think anything else. Back on Kirk Cousins, though, did Kirk Cousins to you Monday night take a huge step, or is something that you've always seen in Kirk Cousins?
I think he took a step forward in one aspect, and that's using his legs to make a play when everything broke down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the biggest knocks against Kirk over the past 4 or 5 seasons has been when he's had opportunities to get outside the pocket or had a free lane to use his legs to make a play, he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that Monday night.
Yeah, and I told you before, I was proud, and it sounds funny, like I was proud of Kirk Cousins on Monday night. Like, I looked at him, I felt like a proud father. I was like, everyone, and I get it on Twitter, like, you don't like Kirk Cousins. Why are you always hating on Kirk Cousins? I don't hate on Kirk Cousins. I don't. I want this team to be successful and win games. I have an issue when it's go time and your players are playing timid. Like, that's my concern. I don't care about stats. People can throw stats in my face all you want. I don't care if Kirk Cousins throws 400 yards in a game. I want to know when it's go time, when you're playing against, when teams are manning up defensively, what are you going to do to win a game? All right? If that person's not open, but you got a running lane, you're going, just because you feel like, you know what, I can just live another down, I'm going to throw the ball away. No. If you want to win the game, you go out and you run. You're not worried about being hit, because you know what? Running backs are getting hit. Wide receivers are getting hit. Everybody's getting hit. And to me, Kirk Cousins showed, you know what? I'm not worried about, and I don't think he worries about money in terms of like, okay, if I get hit, I'm going to lose my contract. I don't think he worries about that. I never did. I just thought it was just a timid thing. But I think when I look at Kirk Cousins, now, it's about winning. That's all it's about. It's about winning. I don't care if I throw 300 yards. I'm going to put this team in the best situation to win games. And I was proud of him for Monday night. I thought he did it. If it wasn't for Dotson, we'd be talking a new story. If Dotson catches that football, we're saying Kirk Cousins has that primetime game on Monday night, right? He's won the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. He's clutch now. It's a different argument.
I'm not going to put it all on Dotson, that one play.
Oh, no. I'm not saying the losses of Dotson's fault. Okay. I'm saying that play, if he makes that play, the storyline changes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I understand.
No, I think the defense, if I had to put a blame was just on anything, it's the penalty the defense took, especially like Preston Smith with the continuously going offsides.
Then
like that was
Breeland
with hands in the face
on the third down.
Yeah, hands in the face.
Even on offense, Samaje Perine with the fumble.
Yeah. Perine with the fumble in the fourth when they were driving early. You know what I mean? So, no, I'm with you. I think if you look at some of the other mistakes that the team made, people argue too at the same time, Jay Gruden not letting the clock go all the way down, you know, and, you know, giving Kansas City enough time to race down the field to score the winning field goal.
Yeah. So this is my one thought on the run game and Samaje Perine. Yeah. If Rob Kelly is out.
Mm hmm.
I think you have to give a lot of consideration to putting Mac Brown in.
Totally
let
agree.
Mac Brown start.
Let him work, man.
Samaje Perine has shown that even though he may have some promise,
mm-hmm.
he isn't the guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Brown, the few opportunities he's had, he's shown you glimpses.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you'll actually know if he's a guy that really can contribute for you long term is if you give him the ball against San Fran. San Fran, now, I will say that San Fran doesn't have the best run game.
Yeah. I mean, so, defense. You mean running defense.
Excuse me, running defense.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Perine is able to come back and post a better outing than he did the last 2 weeks.
And gain some confidence, right?
Yeah, and gain some confidence. But I think you have to give heavy consideration to letting Mac Brown be a guy that comes in on the first and second down and gets 15 touches this game.
Well, you know, we got the bye, so we'll you know, hopefully, you know, the Redskins will get everything. Well, they had a lot of injuries.
Josh Norman.
We didn't talk about that. Yeah, Josh Norman going down. Looks like he may be out for 2 to 4 weeks.
Rob Kelly. Mm-hmm. Also, you have, who else? Who is the safety?
Monte Nicholson.
Monte Nicholson.
But yeah, but Norman, big injury. How much do you think that affected the game?
I don't think it affected the game. Fabian Washington came in and played.
Fabian
Monroe came in and he played pretty stellar for a rookie.
He played okay. I mean, he got beat on that last one, but he was okay. I mean, he didn't do anything bad. He wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Then you had Breland. Breland was solid.
He was solid.
The hands to the face.
Yeah, he was solid.
But he was solid. It's going to be interesting to see Breland matching up with Pierre Garçon.
That's going to be awesome.
The week after next.
That'll be awesome. It'd be physical play, though. I mean, yeah. Physical. Breland plays better against physical physical wide receivers anyway. So it will be an interesting matchup. And, you know, Pierre Garçon's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder anyway. But anyway, we will make our Week 5 NFL picks after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
There you go. You are listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray is on vacay. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have our NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T went 11-5, Ray went 10-6, and I went 9-7. In comparison, before I let you go, Will T, in comparison, Football Garbage Times, Joanne went 8-8, Hakun Wan went 11-5, Ryan went 9-7, and Scott went 10-6. Make sure you check out their podcast. It's a good podcast. But within our individual battle, Will T is now 36-27.
Let's put a caveat on that, okay?
Will T is first place.
I'm first place.
All right.
36-27.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The first week I was 5-11.
Yeah.
So people, if you've been rocking with me and listening
the last three weeks,
I knew it. You are 31-16. Where do you get? They're not even doing that in Vegas. All right. 31-16. If you're listening to me.
Oh man! Oh, and Ray is in. I'm in second place, 34-29. Ray is in last place with 30.
Ray was in first place after the first week, right?
No, it was me.
Oh, you okay? Well, yeah. I know it's one of you guys that I surpassed. You know, it's only two of you, but
you surpassed both of us. Actually,
yes, I have.
Be factual about it.
Now I'm about to put more distance between myself and both of you guys.
Rick Martell is like living a dream right now, man.
You know, I'm just telling the truth. I'm speaking my truth.
All right. Week 5 games. First game, Patriots versus the Buccaneers.
The Pats they opened up as a 4-point favorite. It's up to 5.5 in some places. I'm taking New England.
You and Ray have New England. I am taking the Buccaneers in this game.
Wow, okay.
Look, hey, it's funny. You know what? The last 3 weeks, what has Tom Brady seen? Think about it.
What
last
has he seen?
3 weeks, what has he seen? Him and the Patriots, what have they seen the last 3 weeks?
Cover two defenses?
Nah, three black quarterbacks. Jets versus the Browns in Cleveland.
Jets versus the Browns in Cleveland. Cleveland is 2.5, opened as a 2.5-point favorite. They are down to a 1-point favorite. I'm taking the Jets.
Jets? Okay, you're taking the Jets? Ray 2 has the Jets. I am taking the – did I miss one? No, I didn't. I'm right. I am taking the – I'm taking the Browns.
Okay.
All right, Panthers versus the Lions.
This game is at Carolina, correct?
No, it's in Detroit.
Oh, it's in the D?
Yeah, you got it right. Is that correct? Yeah, it's correct. It's in Detroit, right?
Yeah, it's in Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit's opened as a 3-point favorite. It's down to 2.5 in some places. I'm still sticking with Detroit.
You and Ray have Detroit. I have the Panthers. Niners versus the Colts.
This is one of those ugly ones.
Ain't it, though?
Indianapolis opened as a 2.5-point favorite. Most places they are a 1.5-point favorite now. I will go with San Fran. I think San Fran gets their first victory.
You and Ray have San Fran. You and Ray are alike today. Give me the Colts. I like Brissett. I think he looks like a real quarterback for this team. They had a good opportunity to beat Seattle until they faltered in the second half. Texans versus Dolphins. Titans versus Dolphins. Excuse me.
Oh, this is easy. Give me the Dolphins. You know who? They lost Marcus Mariota.
I know they got. I know exactly.
They have Matt Castle, and then they brought in Brandon Whedon
and not
Colin Kaepernick.
And not Cap.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to Dolphins as well. We all have the Dolphins. Bills versus the Bengals in Cincinnati.
See, this is one of those ones right here.
Yeah, this is one of them games.
Cincinnati opened as a 3.5-point favorite. Three points in most places. Buffalo's on the road. Buffalo's played solid. A lot of people are going to believe in the hype of what they did against Atlanta, but I think Atlanta's a flawed team. Give me Cincinnati.
You got Cincinnati? Who did Ray pick? Who did Ray pick?
Did he even pick this game?
Yeah, he picked this game. I'm trying to look through the. It's 14 teams on the thing. Maybe he didn't pick it.
No, I don't think he picked it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Was it 15 games? Really? I got the Bengals. No, sorry. Ray picked Cincinnati. I'm sorry. I got the Bengals. You got who? The Bills?
No, I have Cincinnati.
We all got Cincinnati. Sorry. I had to read it. I was like, what the? Because he got in the wrong order. Chargers versus the Giants.
Oh, this is one of those ones where it's someone coming from west to east, despite how bad the Giants look, and as much as they look like they don't want to win a game, I'm taking the Giants to get their first victory.
I'm going to go with the Chargers. Ray has the Giants. Jaguars versus Steelers. Let's speed this up.
Oh, give me the Jaguars at Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Steelers.
You got the Steelers? Oh, give me the Steelers. Ray has the Steelers as well. Cardinals versus Eagles in
Philadelphia.
In Philly.
I am going to take, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Philly.
Yeah, I'm going Philly. Ray's going Philly as well. Seattle Seahawks versus the Rams in LA.
This is a pick 'em, but I'm going to go with Seattle.
Ray's going with Seattle. I'm going with LA. Ravens versus the Raiders in Oakland. I wanted to say
in Oakland.
Yeah, I want to say Vegas for some strange reason.
No.
And RIP folks in Vegas. What?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Baltimore.
All right, Will T. Baltimore. Ray is going with Oakland. I'm going Oakland as well. Packers versus the Cowboys
in Dallas. Jerry World
in Dallas.
Oh, the ghost of Aaron Rodgers.
Give me the Packers, and Ray's picking Dallas. Chiefs versus Texans in Houston. Could this be the first loss?
I do think this is the first loss.
All right,
I'm going with Houston.
Ray has Houston. Wally too has Houston. Wow, this is amazing. We all have the same team. Finally, because I've been odd. I haven't picked any of y'all games. I'm gonna actually be really good or really bad at the same time. All right, Vikings versus the Bears.
Give me Minnesota.
Yeah, give me the Vikings. And Ray has the Vikings as well. Any surprises in week 1 for you before we go to break, Wilty?
No.
I mean week 4.
No surprises for me. They're favorite, mm-hmm. but I didn't pick them is Oakland.
Yeah.
And I just don't know the whole EJ Emmanuel, how that.
He looked good down the stretch, though.
I don't think EJ Emmanuel's ever been fairly assessed uh-huh. because he had when he was in Buffalo, he didn't have talent around him.
No, I agree. In Buffalo, he didn't have that much talent around him. And he had Sammy Watkins Jr. I thought Sammy Watkins was pretty talented. But anyway, it's time for a break. When we get back, we'll have Ryan Sullivan, editor-in-chief of NatsGM.com, to discuss the Nats in the NLDS against the Cubs. You're listening to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise I'm swag. Hey, young Mitch. I'm gonna trust you. I'm gonna shoot you. Yo. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Represent. Gotta represent. Gang. Gang. Chase a chick. Chase. Never chase him. Never chase no. Mask on.
This is a future perk and Percocet.
Mask off.
Mask off. Y'all know about it. This is my song, man. I love this song. I don't know why I love it. I've been talking about ratchet songs. I love this song, though. I talk about future and whatnot, like, you know.
You say the music is terrible, but
I'm listening to it, though. But I listen to it, though. That's terrible. I know. That's terrible. Anyway, right now, we have Ryan Sullivan from NatchGM.com on the line. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks again for the return invite. I appreciate it. What's going on?
It's the Nats are in the postseason against the Cubs. It's the storyline. This is what's going on. This is exciting for the DMV.
Yeah, I mean, for a baseball nerd like myself, this is about the happiest time of the year. This is like a 5-year-old on Christmas for me, man. So let's talk some Nats baseball right now.
Absolutely. How you doing this evening, Ryan?
Everything is good. I mean, just taking a minute away from the Yankees and Twins game and tired to talk a little bit of Nats baseball. It feels a little weird to have 2 days off in a row.
Yeah, it's interesting you're watching the Yankees and the Twins. Luis Severino started game one. He was knocked out. Looks like he's knocked out after – potentially could be knocked out after the first inning.
He is knocked out.
Give me a reason. If Max Scherzer isn't healthy and the Nats have to go with Steven Strasburg, who doesn't have extensive postseason experience, why should the fan base feel comfortable with him opposed to Max Scherzer in the first game?
Well, I'll start with the first day. I'd rather have Max on the hill than Strasburg if, you know, everything was all equal. But it's not. It looks like the hamstring or whatever it is going to keep Scherzer out for game one. So why you should be fired up for Strasburg, it's because down the stretch he's been, if not the best pitcher in baseball, he's been one of the best couple pitchers in baseball. He's been simply dominant the last, I don't know, 6 to 8 starts. And frankly, with the kind of guy he is and the way he can sometimes get in his own head a little bit, perhaps not knowing what he's going into or having a little bit of inexperience in the postseason might actually be good for him. He's going to be pitching at home. He should be more comfortable. He's going to be pitching, and have a little extra rest. So, there's no real reason that he shouldn't pitch a great game on Friday.
See, yeah, and I agree. I actually think that Strasburg right now, because of how hot, like you just mentioned, how hot he has been down the stretch, would be the better play regardless. I just think right now he's in his zone, and we've seen it, you know, before the shutdown, how great this guy can be once he's in his zone, and he's there right now. And I mean, it's either or. I mean, you got Matt Scherzer or Strasburg right now. With those two in any series, you should feel comfortable having. You should be comfortable having. Feel comfortable being up 2-0 because you have probably the two best pitchers in any rotation. So I just think that right now, I would like to have Strasburg starting game one just because I know that during this stretch, and we're looking at this current time, he's probably been the best pitcher in baseball.
Well, and to even further your point, we can't forget last year, shoot, through about August 1st, he was, 14-0? I mean,
yeah,
completely in the zone last year as well. Now, some injury issues and some things got him out of the zone, as you know, kind of you were mentioning as well. But like you say, when this guy's in the zone, you know, few, if anybody, has a better arsenal than he does. I mean, the fastball's mid-90s, the hammer, the hook is simply fantastic. And you know, the changeup is a really legitimate nasty pitch as well. And he'll throw a slider on you just, you know, for fun at times as well. So, you know, I mean, he's a better pitcher than any Cubs pitcher they'll throw out there.
Exactly.
So whether or not it's Scherzer or Strasburg, I mean, we certainly have the edge in game one, you know, pitching-wise.
Okay, Ryan, another question for you. It seems that Bryce Harper is going to be batting number two in the order. Talk about the difference with Bryce being in the two spot versus the three spot in this lineup.
Well, I think first and foremost, I think it's probably 50-50 that we'll even see him in the two hole. I think some of that was probably to just get him some extra at bats when he was coming back last week from that injury. So first and foremost, you may not even see him there, but taking your question, assuming he is in the two hole, it's an opportunity once again to get him more at bats. It's an opportunity that he can perhaps see more fastballs with Trey Turner on base at either first or second base, and either gives him that nice gap between first and second base, the first and second base defenders, or you know, the opportunity to just have an unz. And Trey Turner's been fairly good the last 10 days as well, so that would be kind of the advantage of moving him up into the two hole and perhaps, you know, either putting Rendon behind him, most likely to put a right-hander and break up the lefties. But, you know, however way you want to slice it, the Cubs, you know, pitching staff is somehow going to go through the meat of the order, which is going to be Harper, Rendon, Murphy, Zimmerman, probably Worth, you know, and Trey Turner at the top. So, I mean, they're going to have to really pitch well and you know, get lucky, frankly.
Mm-hmm. So you are listening to the Urban Sports Team with my boy Will T, myself, Wally, Ray's on vacation. Right now we have, editor-in-chief, NatchGM.com, Ryan Sullivan on the line. Ryan, talking about Bryce Harper, you know, obviously, you know, the injury, and he's trying to get a swing back and just playing live. I mean, live action, he did a little bit during the season. But do you feel like it's going to impact him? How do you feel like that's going to impact him in the postseason against the Cubs?
It's hard to tell. I mean, that's probably the million-dollar question. If I had the answer to that, I'd probably be in Las Vegas. You fellas, unfortunately or fortunately. But I'll say it this way. I was at the game Sunday, and I thought his swing looked pretty good on the fastballs. The changeup was definitely throwing him off a little bit, particularly in the second and third at bat. But he ran the bases particularly well in, I want to say, his fourth at bat. Later in the game, he went first to home and looked pretty good running. So he's now got 4 more days to recuperate, get right, also get some more, you know, at bats, you know, either against some minor leaguers they'll bring up or in some simulated games. So, you know, for the most part, hitters, you know, they want to play.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those guys, you know, most of the bats are going to lose their timing in the next couple of days, whereas Harper may be the only one gaining some type of an advantage because he can take 4 more days to rest that leg and get it right and also, you know, get his timing back or at least try to in some way.
Okay, Ryan, we're going to get you out of here on this question. I think it's a simple question, but why should the fan base be encouraged opposed for this year for them to get out of the NLDS opposed to previous years?
I have another question later.
That's a tough question, but I would say that this is the best team that we've had since the team has returned, or the franchise has returned to DC, and they are built now for the postseason. They've got 3 starting pitchers that are really rolling. You know, obviously Scherzer, Strasburg, and Gio Gonzalez, who we haven't talked about. We have a really strong back end of the bullpen with Doolittle, Madsen, and Kinsler. Some of the other guys that were overextended middle of the year, like Eni Romero and Matt Albers and Oliver Perez, are now in their more appropriate roles. And you know, it kind of just perhaps if they can win game one and they can somehow get through this series, this could just be their year, kind of like we saw with the Cubs last year. So hopefully the Cubs used all their magic last year in 2016, and hopefully the Nationals are catching them at perhaps a good year or a good time.
So this is a 2-part question, Ryan, before I let you go. And we're going to the opposition, the Cubs. Was this the team that you wanted to see, before, you know, everything was lined up, the Nats versus the Cubs? And also, what, in terms of offense and defense, would you do offensive and pitching, hitting and pitching, are the Nats better at both aspects compared to the Cubs?
Your first question, I would probably rather be looking to play either the winner of tomorrow night's game, either gotcha. Colorado or Arizona. I think just the way you match up a little bit, and not having the experience of having a team that won it all last year, and having that taste of that, and having such a good franchise. That said, the NL playoffs are extremely loaded this year. I mean, mm-hmm. those five teams are the best teams in the National League. And you're going to have to beat two really good franchises to get to the World Series this year. So whether it's the Cubs, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, or the Dodgers, we're going to have to get through two of them. So to answer your question, it's one of those, I've got to beat up some bully. It's just which bully. So, mm-hmm. and to that, I forgot the second part.
In terms of a matchup, right? So do the Nationals match up in terms of hitting and pitching, are the Nationals better than the Cubs in both aspects?
That's a really good question. They're really even the matchup. I think the Nationals have a stronger starting rotation, certainly if we're making the assumption that Scherzer's right mm-hmm. at this point. Their starting rotation is certainly stronger, 1-3. We could have an argument at the fourth spot between Roark and whoever they'll run out in game four. But I think our bullpen is certainly comparable, if not slightly better, maybe a little more depth mm-hmm. at this point. And I think hitting-wise, it's really, really close. It's one of those, is Harper healthy and going? How are they going as well? So that's a really tough question. I mean, their middle of their lineup is Contreras, Rizzo, Bryant, and, goodness, Schwarber. So it's like, they have a heck of a lineup as well. So I would say that maybe we have the slightest of edges hitting-wise, but it's really 6-1 way out of the other.
Okay. Ryan, before I let you go, tell folks how they can reach you on social media and whatnot.
I appreciate that. And by the way, thanks again for the return invite. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I love talking to both of you guys.
No, thank you.
Everything starts with me on Twitter, at natsgm.com, all spelled out. And if you want to find my stuff, natsgm.com online is where you can find my podcasts and my columns and all my work.
Great. Hey, Ryan, again, I forgot to ask you this. Give me a prediction of the series.
My biggest prediction is whoever wins game one wins the series, but I'm going to take the Nationals in five.
All right, great. Well, thanks again, Ryan. We appreciate you. Appreciate you for being on.
Anytime. Thanks for the invite, guys. Have a good one.
Have a good one. That's Ryan Sullivan from NatsGM.com. But we're about to go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to pose this question. Should, I'm going to say this again, should the Washington Wizards go after Jahlil Okafor? You're listening to the Urban Sports Center.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, is born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got troublesome heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a show on most probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist, burn on side a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you, this is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead, redemption, scholars.
All right, you're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray's out. I mentioned the Washington Wizards. Jahlil Okafor is pretty much what I mentioned. He's on the trading block. And I posed this question. I feel like it's an adequate question. The Wizards need a physical, good post player. Should they make an offer for Jahlil Okafor?
Before we jump into that,
yeah,
there was some other Wizards news that was made today.
Oh, go ahead.
Lauren Powell Jobs, the widow of Steve Jobs.
Oh, she's
buying a 20% stake in Monumental Sports.
I heard about that. Yeah, I did. I heard about that.
So it'll be interesting to see what her role within Monumental Sports and the ownership group is. Now back to your question.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Wizards trade for Jahlil Okafor? That would be a hell no. Here's why. Jahlil Okafor thus far hasn't shown that he's would be an upgrade to this team.
Uh-huh.
You already have Gortat. Gortat is a better pick and roll, is better off offensively on pick and roll and on pick and roll defense.
Uh-huh.
Jahlil Okafor is a liability on pick and roll defense, which is something you don't need. Even though he's a presence and can score offensively on the block, I just don't see how he's much of an upgrade.
So hold on, we're in the building. We have my brother, known as King Al. He's blessed us with his appearance. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking.
So, but I mean, I thought you wanted to say something. You grabbed the mic, bro.
Yes. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. But that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
You're not going to say a catchphrase?
Not right now.
Okay.
But why not? Father three. to say, Jamel, first of all, what center plays defense? Dwight Howard.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, he.
Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah. I'm sorry, that's two.
Oh, and Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis. It's not a center. He's a power forward.
Cousins is the center team. Yeah.
So you name two players
mm-hmm.
out of 32 teams.
That's correct. Excuse me, Andre Drummond.
Yeah,
Andre Drummond does not play. He plays help side defense. He does not play defense. He's not a on ball defender. And
the question was, he plays defense.
Fine, let's go Andre Drummond, who has declined.
Yes, he's declined.
He's gotten
which
fat.
Is fair to say.
He's gotten fat.
Is he still overweight?
Yes. I don't think it's a contract year, so yeah, I think he's still overweight. Jahlil Okafor, his rookie season, people forget.
So 18, basically. He dropped 18.
Great season. Emeka came in.
No, Emeka.
I'm sorry. Embiid came in.
That was it.
And I'm not going to lie, he has moves. And he plays a better defender. But Okafor, the goal was originally was one of them was going to get traded.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Right? But they devalued Okafor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now that was the biggest problem. Hopefully he goes to Chicago, his hometown,
mm-hmm.
and can join a young team as in Levine, Dunn. Who was it? My guy from Arizona.
We're bringing it for the DMV though. We need to.
Honestly, I hate the Wizards. So that was a bad thing for me. The only person I like from the Wizards is Bill.
You don't like John Wall?
I like John Wall, but I don't think you guys deserve John Wall. I've said that over.
You don't like Otto Porter?
I don't hear anyone cheering for Otto Porter. I tell you that much. I mean, like,
well, no, your brother cheers for Otto Porter,
of course.
And I don't hear anyone cheering for him for that much. Let's just call it what it is.
Whatever, people cheer for Otto.
No.
I'll be at the game. People would cheer for Otto.
The Wizards fans do not deserve John Wall. You don't treat him like a superstar, and he is a superstar. Bradley Beal, I like his game. The backcourt, I do like the backcourt, but I don't think the fans deserve it. So, no, I don't like the Wizards. I want them to go to Seattle. I want the organizations to leave. I'm not going to lie. I want the organization to go to Seattle. And then I want Wizards fans to understand they deserve that. Now, if they change the name to the Bullets, I will be a fan. I'm not going to lie. I love the Bullets.
Why do you like the Bullets so much?
Because it made me feel D.C. Growing up, when I was like, oh, watching the Bullets, I'm like, absolutely. 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 I mean, I'm just going to say it.
Not absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, when back then.
Oh, my God.
It was the Washington Bullets. You were like, yep, that sounds about right. So, the Wizards, there's no magic in D.C.
Oh, my God.
Okay? I'm just going to be honest. I don't want Okafor to the Wizards because the Wizards should go to Seattle. And I don't like, once again, I dislike the Washington Wizards organization. And the fans. So, which is you guys. And the listeners.
Hold on.
If you're a fan of the Wizards, I'm talking to you. You do not deserve them.
I think that's a very harsh stand for you to make.
So
myself, I'm a fan of this team. Why don't I deserve this team?
First of all, which I did to Gilbert Arenas, didn't support him enough.
I supported Gilbert.
Not enough.
I supported Gilbert.
Not enough. Didn't support him enough. You let Weber go. Didn't support him enough. John Wall was getting when the Lakers came in, they were cheering Kobe. So disrespectful in his own home. Like you guys don't deserve him. You don't deserve him. You don't.
Who's your team?
I'm the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay, the Lakers, and I believe I deserve everything. Okay,
really?
Yes, this is the Lakers. Showtime. What do you?
You deserve Kobe retiring. Deserve that, right?
How long do I have to wait for that? How long do I have to wait for that? You know, I'm at the age where, I mean, people are like, oh my goodness, you're a Kobe Bryant. I'm like, no, I hate Kobe. They just look at me funny. Okay, so I'm a Lakers fan. I hate Kobe Bryant. Okay, but I will say he worked hard and he deserved what he got was his retirement. He deserved what he got.
All right. So
being honest, he deserved
the question
it.
On our Facebook page and Twitter is like, should Jahlil Okafor should the Wizards target Jahlil Okafor? And on Facebook, there's a bunch of like there are people indecisive, but a lot of people said no. If you want a big that can't shoot and plays no D, then sure. About Jahlil, and this is from Brian.
But he doesn't play defense. I know he doesn't. I don't care.
You know what I'm saying? He doesn't. Somebody said Bartek on Facebook said Gortat is underrated. He has the best screens picks in the business.
Okay, you know what? Now, some strange reason, with Andre Jordan, Tyson Chandler, Drummond, Dwight Howard.
Yeah, what are you talking about? What are you gonna say?
They created a position called picks.
Centers
used to post up game position and get the ball and score. Dwight Howard was known for now just to get a lob. Tyson Chandler a lob. DeAndre Drummond a lob. DeAndre Jordan a lob. Like the post game is devalued because of that. Okafor can post up. Karl-Anthony Towns can post up.
Yeah.
Boogie can post up.
The dude from the Raptors.
Paul Gasol can post up.
Not anymore.
I know. Not anymore.
Not last season. Last season was bad.
Marc Gasol can post up. Yeah.
You know, but if you watch Marc Gasol last season.
He's starting to shoot Jays now.
He's getting away from the paint.
Zach Randolph still posts up.
Zach Randolph still posts up. He do. I love his game. But then you look at Towns is knocking down threes left and right.
Yeah, he is.
What's the Jokic? Jokic, for Denver.
Yeah.
Jokic is used more as
a point forward, yes, on the wing.
I would say
on
Sabonis.
The elbow.
He's more of like a Sabonis.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
Oh, and then what's the kid? Nerf. Who went to Portland?
Who got hurt? Yeah.
He got hurt. See, I didn't really follow him until like the trade and he got hurt, so I can't really tell. But Jokic, he's more of a Sabonis.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't really care to score, he's care to pass. But I'm in an era where centers could score from a 15 footer. Hakeem, Ewing, David Robinson, what's the guy from Indy?
Rick Smith.
You know what I'm saying? Like they can face up a couple dribbles, post and shoot,
Alonzo.
Post up zone. But you don't need the 3-point shot.
Yeah.
You see, and that's if they allow Okafor to be a true center.
He'd be dominant, man.
He could dominate this era. As to be a true center. That's what Towns is like. When Towns is unstoppable. And that's what he said, though. Towns said, he said, I want to go out to be the best player. I believe if they trade Wiggins, he can become the best player. Because Wiggins takes too much shots.
Compared to him, yeah.
Butler's not worried about the shots. But if you give Towns, Towns touches enough,
this conversation is going like somewhere totally different. But I'm just to piggyback off your point. I'm interested in Minnesota. I want to see how that dynamic of Butler and Wiggins is going to play out.
See,
me too, yeah.
Neither are alphas, so it can play out fine. it's really going to go to what Teague does. Does Teague pass the ball?
Yeah, yeah.
And who, and what does Thibodeau do? Who offense is it?
Yeah, that's true.
One last question for you, Al.
Are
you a guy that follows the NBA for 82 games?
This season, absolutely. I mean, I used to have NBA League Pass.
I had it last year. I'm going to get it again this year.
And I had to cut. I had everything
because you're what?
Father three.
See, that's from playing basketball together. Hello, alley-oops.
That was a lot.
Ah! No,
Chica.
You got chill.
I know. You got chill. I know it's training. That's inside.
But I will say, I think this NBA season is probably going to be the best NBA season in a long time.
And that's why I'm going to go on record today and say next Tuesday when the game starts, I won't be here. Not next Tuesday. Two Tuesdays from now.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say. That was next Tuesday.
Tuesdays from now, I won't be on the show.
I understand.
Hold on.
That's Hoodie Mello. I want to see Hoodie Mello's first game.
Hey, man. I'm not going to lie. That first game, like, they set it up so perfectly.
Didn't they?
Did they?
I mean, okay, see, and the Knicks?
I know.
Boston and... in Cleveland?
Yes.
Man, listen, man. Like, no one really cares about basketball until after Christmas.
Off the bat.
I care.
But now everyone's caring.
You there.
Did y'all know about the... did y'all talk about the All-Star change?
No, I'm going to talk about NCAA next.
No. No, the NBA All-Star change.
Yeah, I heard. I saw. Yeah, they changed. It changed the...
Yeah. No, but you know why they did it, right?
Why they do it?
Because everyone left the East.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's the reason why they did it.
Yeah,
that does make sense. Because everybody went to the West.
And also, people need to get their they need to get the bonuses and incentives.
Because I think
everyone can be an All-Star.
Yeah, you talking about
you got to be an All-Star and also be a first team.
Mm-hmm.
So you got it. But everyone went. Everyone went to the West.
Oh,
hey, can you think about it, who's gonna be it?
That's true.
Yeah, you know, that's the reason.
John Wall, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, Bradley Beal would definitely make it.
I was about to cuss.
I know, I'm glad you called yourself.
Dwight Howard might even make the All-Star team. Might be voted the All-Star center this year for the East.
He needs to be back, man. You know what? We should go back to we should end the show after this.
We should.
Yeah, we'll just talk
we'll
NCAA
talk,
next
we'll
week.
We'll talk NCAA next week.
Yeah, it's always happening.
Talking about the
Rick Pitino?
Yeah.
He's not the only one that's doing
it. He's not the only one. That's what's going on.
Did y'all read?
Yeah, I read it.
Snitch.
Yeah, but it wasn't snitch on Pitino, though.
No, not Pitino. I'm talking about the genesis of it.
Oh, yeah. That guy.
Slimy.
It's always black on black crime.
We're going to end this show. Hey, Will T., it's been a pleasure doing the show. Thanks for coming out.
Al, we appreciate you coming over as always. 20 minutes.
Yeah, we do appreciate you, man. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.